Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and soon-to-be Brooks Bryan joining you here on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville or Tupelo, you know what to do. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. You get it delivered right to your door. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. Everything coffee right there for you. And have it each and every morning. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you of that. Oh wait, he's not here. I gotta do that thing where I did for Robbie. I gotta cut out of him saying beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. If you are cooking out this weekend, and it should be a great weekend to do it, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're not cooking out this weekend and you just want to eat a steak, man, I can't make it any easier for you than living here in Mississippi. We got great steakhouses all over the place. Here in Starkville, we got fantastic steakhouses. In the Golden Triangle, great places to eat. But wherever you live in Mississippi, you can get a great steak. So do it this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State. You've got it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Show. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com before you head to Starkville for the Starkville Regional. Maybe you make a stop at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. We'll talk to a banker that knows you by name, not just by your account number. Talk to a banker that's going to treat you with respect. Talk to a banker at Priority One Bank. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location, let Priority One Bank make you their priority. All right. Mississippi State, this is a weird pod, by the way. It's kind of sectional, all right? There's a football thing at the back end that I recorded earlier this afternoon, or I should say Thursday afternoon. Then Brooks is about to join us in just a minute. We're going to recap this win for Mississippi State, 18-11 over Texas A&M, a game that saw Mississippi State put up a 13-run inning to take control of the game in the third, which they maintained, and would have run-ruled the Aggies, if not for a couple of lazy defensive plays. And I'm just going to call that out for what it is, in my opinion. Lazy defensive plays by Aiden Teal, who was brought into the game as a defensive replacement. Really some inexcusable stuff from Teal, the kind of stuff that you may not see him for a little while. You may not see him again. That was bad. There's no getting around what happened there in the seventh and eighth inning. A chance for Mississippi State to run-rule Texas A&M, to get out of there using minimal pitching. Instead, you got to go to Maddox, Webb, and Ben Davis. Now, I will say with Webb and Davis, a total of 10 pitches for Webb, 21 for Davis. Both of those guys can probably come back for you on Saturday. Heck, Webb might be able to come back tomorrow. But you didn't need to go to them. You only had to go to them because the guy you brought in as a defensive replacement made some mistakes, and that's disappointing. What's not disappointing is State's offense in this game. And look, I think you and I both are, everybody out there listening is going to have the same thoughts, right? That, you know, it's very similar to the Auburn series. And it is. It absolutely is. You know, State really hit the ball well tonight. They were aggressive at the plate, 16 hits. They did strike out 12 times, but kind of similar to what we talked about with Auburn last week. They were aggressive in that game. They were swinging the bat. They did walk 8 times tonight. Texas A&M's pitching staff, you know, yesterday's pod, I talked about State should have an advantage in pitching, and man, did they. A&M's got some guys out there that they really don't look like they belong. And for State, you know, on a night where Tomas Valinkas does not have his best stuff, gives up 2 home runs in the first 3 batters of the game, 5 innings pitched, 9 hits, 7 runs, all of them earned. He only walked 1. He did strike out 7 through 102 pitches, but he wasn't at his best. State has won both starts where I would say Valinkas was not at his best this year, this game and the LSU game. The offense has come through for them. From an offensive standpoint, Fry with 3 hits, Reese with 2 hits, including a home run, Sullivan with 2 hits, Parker with two hits, including a three-run home run, which really broke the game open there in the third inning. Three hits for Vitas Valencias, a couple hits for Kevin Malewski, including a home run, and a good night for Ryder Woodson. Say what you want. One run, he was 1 for 4, a couple of runs, played pretty well in the field. No real issues with him, you know, as Drew Weyers was not on the injury list, so I just assumed they wanted to go with Woodson tonight. Like I said, 16 hits leads to 18 runs. They played good baseball, and they would have run ruled this team tonight had it not been for those mistakes by Aiden Teel. Be interested to see how O'Connor addresses that going forward. So, all right, enough of me. Let's go to – so here's how it's going to go. We go to me and Brooks, got his thoughts on the game, and then we'll go to me from earlier this afternoon. I wanted to talk a little football. I wanted to hit up on what we talked about yesterday about State's ceiling and how State can get there. How can State reach its ceiling this year? I had some thoughts on that I wanted to share with y'all. Hope you enjoy it. This is kind of a Future Brian situation. I won't call it Future Brian because we think that guy is a little bit of a jinx, but so be it. Let's go now to my conversation that I just finished up with former Diamond Dog, Brooks Brian. Brooks, who are we going to blame for while we're recording at this hour? Is it me for sending you a text saying, hey, we may get to go a little early, or is it you for immediately throwing cold water on me saying, no, it'll probably still go the same amount of time? Who's to blame? I'll take the blame.
Probably a little of both, probably.
So, Brooks, this is a really weird result. All right, so State got the win that they absolutely had to have this weekend. The Starkville Regional is probably locked in stone right this second, and now it's about finding a couple more wins, and maybe you can make it a super regional. You dominate them, you know, at the plate. You score 18 runs. You have a 13-run inning, which is just incredible. And yet we're going to sit here and look at this game and say, it should have been different. You had an opportunity to get out of there early, to not burn a couple of extra pitchers, and you don't do it. And I really don't enjoy pinning it on one guy, but I'm going to pin it on Aiden Teel tonight because the decision to put him in, I don't agree with the decision first and foremost. And you can tell me if I'm wrong, but you're up 10 runs. You need 3 outs. You don't really need a defensive replacement. You could Chance is good enough in center. That's not, and Valencas is good enough in left that it shouldn't be a problem. But then he goes out there and tries to make a nonchalant play when you need the outs, and it extends the game. You end up having to bring in Maddox Webb. You end up having to bring in Ben Davis. What a weird game, because it feels like we should be on here saying Mississippi State did its job and now they're set to host and all. It should be a positive feeling, and yet here I am. I'm a little peeved at the way it all went out.
Yeah, and I think that's the only kind of negative that I can think of in the game is basically the one play that kept the game going in the seventh, and in the eighth, if he makes the catch in the eighth, that does not allow two more runs to score, and that probably alleviates Ben Davis having to throw in the ninth. But and you were asking about a defensive replacement, in which when Aiden Teel has been healthy and did not start, he has been the defensive replacement when we were ahead that went into center and Bryce would move back to left. Mm-hmm. But when he was hurt, Bryce would stay in center and they would put Nunley in left.
Yeah.
And that's what they actually did in the ninth when they pinch hit for Teel.
Well, after those two defensive mistakes, they couldn't very well let Teel stay in the game at that point.
Right. So I can see them putting a defensive replacement in, and for whatever obviously the wind was blowing out to left center. Mm-hmm. But no other players really struggled, and he struggled really bad on two of them. And but you know, to kind of get past that, man, we did really well. Valencas didn't have his best stuff. Still battled, gave up two home runs in the first three batters and able to battle through it and give us a chance to end the third where we exploded. And you know, that's just one of those innings where everything we hit, whether it was hard with Jacob Parker hitting one about 500 feet or Malewski hitting one about 450. And then we had, you know, probably four or five hits through the four hole and six hole. So we had everything in that inning as far as hits. And, you know, that's kind of what happened to us against Auburn on Saturday. You know, those games just kind of happened to good teams. And it happened to A&M tonight, where everything we swung at, we hit, whether it was hard or soft, it found holes.
And, you know, for State, yeah, you mentioned it. Valinkas, not his best night. It's kind of interesting that his two worst starts of the year, State won them both. The LSU game and this game, I would say, are the two worst performances he's had, and yet State was able to find a way to win. And you hit on it. He gives up two home runs in the first three batters, and I think every Mississippi State fan's like is thinking the same thing. We're like, oh no, not like this. Let's not have this. That third inning is something that I don't know that, you know, I don't know the Mississippi State record for runs in an inning off the top of my head. I'm sure maybe media relations can get that information out to us, but the fact that I mean, how many, I think, was it 8 runs before there was an out? That's very similar to the Texas game a couple weeks ago where everything melted down for Mississippi State, but even more so in this situation. State puts the game to bed. Parker, you mentioned Maluski, who had a really good night, a couple of hits and a walk tonight. You know, the only guy who really didn't have a great night at the plate is the leading hitter on the team in Bryce Chance, but even he was able to find his way onto base a couple of times. This was the kind of game State had to play. Just to they went to this series knowing we need to win one game. And that they knew that if we win one game, they're going to host. Now, it's not that they went over there just to win one game, but had to be in the back of their mind. To get it on Thursday night, to get it in game one. Now the rest of the weekend, you can kind of play kind of, you would think they could play kind of free the rest of the weekend, and the pressure is off of them.
Yeah, I agree, and they know that, but man, they know that a super regional is what they want, and I feel like now we will win another game this weekend. Hopefully, it's tomorrow, and then we can go for this series sweep on Saturday. I feel really good with Duke going tomorrow. I think he's gonna really pitch well, and then you know we've talked about it before. Hitting's contagious, and I think right now we're hitting the ball well. Whether it's just confidence building, but we're seeing it well. And why I'm saying that is because tonight in that big inning, I don't know if they walked a hitter. They may have
They did
caught
not.
one, but most they did not. Okay. So most of them, I think they had one error maybe, but everything else were hits, whether, like I said, they were hard or soft. And we were hitting early in the count, and that's what I like to see. When you had Noah Sullivan hitting without not being down two strikes, and other guys hitting before they get to two strikes, they can have offensive swings rather than defensive swings.
This game was very similar to the Auburn game last Thursday, where State was very aggressive. We talked about it on that game. They had 16 hits in that game, but they also had 10 strikeouts and only 2 walks. So you knew they were up there, you know, hacking away basically. Now we have to hope the rest of the series is not like that for Mississippi State. But I tend to agree with you, not only because I think State will play loose and play with confidence. I don't know how much pitching the Aggies have. I mean, they're just decimated by injuries right now. There were a couple of guys that they threw out there. I was like, I can't believe these guys are playing SEC baseball. They just did not look like an SEC pitching staff in any way. I want to ask you the question that I've seen people bring up to me, and I don't really know exactly on the strategy that I would go. If State wins this game Friday and they've got the series in hand, do you hold McPherson? Do you not pitch him this week? Maybe let him go game one in the SEC tournament. Let him get a little extra rest because you don't need to strain him in that situation, or do you just keep everything as normal as you can?
I would keep it as normal as you can because he would be your day three starter, like in a regional. And I would keep him kind of on that, either, you know, that Saturday or Sunday timeline. And you would think that you would kind of, let's just say you go for the, if you win tomorrow, you go for the sweep on Saturday, win or lose, you're either playing on Thursday or Friday. That should, you know, if you win two, you're playing on Thursday or Friday. You might get a double bye, I doubt it, but you'd be playing probably on Thursday, and you would stay in that
Well,
same
it's
Thursday,
Wednesday
Friday
now. The
night.
tournament starts on Tuesday.
Okay. So if you don't get a double bye, you would play on
If you don't get a
Wednesday.
double bye, you're playing Wednesday. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would still roll with McPherson and keep that same order.
I think that's the smart play. I see the other side of it just in case, but I think you can't play scared with him either. You got to let him know that you believe in him and everything else. So with the win tonight, Mississippi State sitting at 16-12. As we said, everybody I've talked to, and we had Jacob Rudner from Baseball America on this week. We had Mark Etheridge on from D1 Baseball. I've seen what Kendall Rogers was saying. It's been a pretty obvious drumbeat of win one and you'll host win two, and we can talk about going into the Super Regional. That being said, are we sure we want this team to host this team? This team is so good on the road. What is it about this team that you think this is their ninth road win of the season? They only have seven home wins, you know, and the home schedule's already wrapped up. They have a chance to finish with 10, maybe even 11 home wins or road wins if things continue to go well this weekend. Why is this team so – I don't want to say better on the road. I'm not really interested in that. Why are they good on the road?
I just think that they're just – they battle, and they like that. You know, I sit here and say that teams look forward to coming to the Dude to play. Opposing teams do, and they get up for that. Whenever I played, when we went to big places on the road, we got up for that also. So I think that they just like going in and quieting the crowd down, and you know, they're in the hotel rooms. They're not, you know, kind of around town and on their own time. So I think that that has a lot to do with it. Just the focus is a little bit more there. But yeah, and I know you kind of said that tongue in cheek as far as do we want to stay at home as long as possible? I know that was tongue in cheek, but for sure, I would love to have a, you know, host a regional, win it, and somehow have a super regional. And I would love to play a non-SEC team. If we face another SEC team, fine. But if it's a non-SEC team, I really like our chances.
Yeah, if they can avoid – it's really if they avoid Georgia, Auburn, and Texas. Like, those are the three teams that's – I would rather play UCLA than play Georgia, Auburn, Texas at this point. Now, maybe that's just because I saw State struggle with those teams, whereas against UCLA, they probably should have won that game. You know, if we had ABS – it would be a totally different situation. I wanted to ask you about Aiden Teal. You know, you played center field, obviously. How does he come back from this? Can he come back from this? This is a pretty embarrassing couple of innings of baseball for him in a situation where you're brought in as the defensive replacement, and then you make two big defensive errors that are – one's not an error, but that strain your team a little bit. You know, it's going to put you in a tougher position to win three games this weekend because you had to go. Now, I think Webb and Davis can both come back. They didn't throw a whole ton of pitches, but what's it like in the locker room for a player when they make a mistake like that?
Yeah, the team's going to have his back, and he'll be fine. I thought about it. I did the same thing against Alabama playing right field, where in the top of the ninth they hit one down the right field line, and I was camped under. And somehow, some way, I missed it by a foot, and it landed fair for a double. They took the lead. And then in the bottom of the ninth, we had the same thing happen. I think it might have been Brad Freeman hit one down the right field line. Their right fielder did the same thing, missed it by about a foot, and we won the game. So it was just kind of ironic that happened in the same inning. But Aiden will be totally fine. I'm sure that he's a little disappointed that if he's healthy, he's not in the lineup. So that, you know, that's kind of one thing that's probably weighing on him a little bit. But as far as those two plays, I think that's just kind of a one-time deal, and he'll be fine moving forward.
You think Mississippi State can get one more this weekend?
I do. I do. I have a lot of confidence in Duke tomorrow, and I think we'll come out swinging it well again. And, man, it seems like they have like 12 or 15 left-handers in their pen. I don't know where they got them all, but I think they're maybe starting a lefty tomorrow, and then – I know their best reliever, I think his last name may be like Fresh Corn or
yes.
something.
Yes, yeah.
I think he's a lefty too, if I'm not mistaken. I may be wrong, but I think he's a lefty. So I'm glad that we've at least seen a lot of lefties so far, because I think we'll see a couple of more moving forward.
I think you're right on that one too. So good to start for the weekend for Mississippi State. They need another one to maybe guarantee themselves a chance at the Super Regional, but the Starkville Regional should be a thing now. So, Brooks, we'll expect to see you in Starkville when postseason baseball rolls around in a couple weeks. Brooks Bryan, appreciate your time tonight, my friend, and we'll talk to you again. I guess we'll probably do it on Sunday after this all wraps up.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brian. Right,
thanks. All right, so thanks, Brooks, for joining me here and getting the recap there of the game. Just so everybody knows, though, I am recording this before the game. But I know he's coming on, so I wanted to thank him. Let's move into I want to do a little bit of football talk. I want to expound about something we talked about on yesterday's Thunder and Lightning. And let's move into that. It's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. I might make a Two Brothers appearance on Friday. I haven't been in quite a while, so let's put that on the back burner. When I'm thinking about that, the Older Brother as well. Two great places to eat right there in the Cotton District. If you're looking for lunch or dinner this weekend, and you're in Starkville, the place to go: Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need technology for your business, call Advantage Business Systems today. If you need a new computer, new laptops, new printers, new copiers, whatever it is, get the product, get the equipment that you want, but more importantly, get the promise and the security of service after the sale. They'll take care of you at Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. But how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Are you looking for great new Mississippi State gear? They've got it at Maroon & Co. A lot of cool stuff that you cannot find anywhere else. Maroon & Co. has stuff that they don't have it at any other shops, you know, here in Starkville that sell Mississippi State gear. Maroon & Co. has stuff you're not finding anywhere else. They got the logos that you want, and it's more than just clothes. They got stuff for your house, your tailgate, your car. It's all right there for you at Maroon & Co. Use the promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, make sure you've gone to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. That's the place to find the John Deere green that you're looking for. Great deals available right now in their Drive Green sales event on mowers, tractors, gators. We're talking 0% financing for those tractors, 84 months. Guys, you can't beat those deals. If you are looking to upgrade your equipment or if you're a new landowner, we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment, and you need to get a tractor, my friends at Scruggs have got the deal waiting for you. Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo, they have what you want for less. Landowners in this state, Good Hope Land and Timber, that's the name to know. If you're looking to buy or sell land, my friends at Good Hope Land and Timber can certainly make that happen for you. If you're just trying to buy a couple hundred acres or maybe a few thousand acres, whatever that the size of the plot is, they've got you taken care of at Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're already a landowner and you're thinking, hey, I got land, I got timber, how do I manage it? How do I keep everything, you know, sustainable? How do I make the most money on my timber? Good Hope Land and Timber, that's where they really shine. Experts in their field, make them experts in your field with a quick phone call. 601-442-9888. Or visit them online at g-hope.com. Good Hope Land and Timber, locally trusted, landowner approved. So yesterday, Carlo and I did that that thing where we did call it a thought exercise or whatever, where we're talking about our first thought, our gut reaction to SEC teams. What do we think they're going to be this year? And for State, I said 6-6, but I also said that State's ceiling could be 9-3. And I feel like that's the ceiling, right? Do I really think Mississippi State's going to beat, out of this group, they're going to win two out of Texas, LSU, Alabama, and Oklahoma? That's a lot. That's a lot to expect, in my opinion. But can they get 9-3 and win one of those games, beat Auburn, beat Vandy, beat Missouri, beat South Carolina, beat Ole Miss, and then win your three non-conference games? In terms of we're talking about a ceiling, yeah, you can. And I said – I had three things, right? I said Kamario Taylor has to be as good as advertised, better maybe than advertised. He has to be an elite quarterback. The offensive line has to be good enough. Again, not good, just good enough. And then Zach Arnett has to get a big step forward out of his defense. What struck me after I thought about it for a little while was how attainable I feel like those goals are. I would say that if State gets two out of those three goals, they're probably going to be a 7-8 win team. The ceiling will require all three. And the funny thing is, the last one, the defensive one, that's the one I have total confidence in. I have total confidence that Zach Arnett is going to come in here and you're going to see a competent, well-organized, well-coached defense that can get to the quarterback, that can create pressure, create turnovers, get off the field in timely fashion. I have complete belief in that guy because I've seen him do it before at Mississippi State with similar talent. I think he's going to come in right away and be really, really good for Mississippi State. So that's one. I feel like that's going to happen. So here's the other two, right? It's Kamario Taylor in the offensive line. Well, I will also tell you that as if you're a pro wrestling fan, the term is mark. When you're just a fan, you whatever somebody does, you're going to cheer for them. I'm kind of a Kamario Taylor mark. Now, the last player Mississippi State I was a mark for was Emmanuel Forbes, and all he did was be a consensus All-American, a first-round pick, and pick off more passes than just about anybody. So I got a good record for being a mark with some guys. I was also a mark for Jarius Norwood, DeCenzo Miller. Trying to go back further. Ed Smith, loved Ed Smith. Greg Favors, I was a mark for him. I got a good record when I'm a mark for a guy. I'm a mark for Kamario Taylor. I think that this guy has, and I think his ceiling is first pick in the draft 2027. I mean, we're talking about size, strength, speed, arm. He's got all the tools. And I believe in Jeff Lebby's ability to develop quarterbacks. I saw him do it with Matt Corral. I saw him do it with Dillon Gabriel. I saw him do it to a certain extent with Blake Chapin. I thought Chapin was better at State than he was at Baylor. You know, I think when we look back in a few years, Chapin's going to get a little bit more of a pass than we give him right now. Yes, did he throw away a couple of games, the Florida game? Sure. But with that offensive line, man, I don't know how much more he could have really done for Mississippi State. But I think Taylor is the total package. I think he is a guy that I am hopeful Mississippi State will bring him to media days because I think he's going to be a guy that people are going to see him and go, who the hell is that? Who is that guy? That State's quarterback? Because he's just a physical specimen, unlike anybody else. I mean, I think he's, you know, he Lenoris Sellers is less physically impressive than Kamario Taylor is, in my opinion. But what does that mean? It, you know, still have to get the performance out of him. You know, it's great that he looks good in the uniform, but I got to see the performance. Watching him in the spring game, I thought that, you know, he looked a little bit more composed in the pocket. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. But, and I think that State has got some good talent in the receiver room. I believe in Fluff Bothwell as a guy who can take some pressure off in the running game. This offense is perfectly suited to what Kamario Taylor can do. His strengths, this offense accentuates his strengths, I believe. I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities to run, but I think that, you know, the deep passing game with his arm strength is going to be a positive for him. But State's going to need him to play at an incredibly high level to get to where they where we're talking about here with the in terms of the ceiling, right? Think about the best quarterback performances we've had here at Mississippi State. Dak, you know, I think Dak's junior year was really his best year. He was a better passer his senior year, but he was a better all-around quarterback, I thought, as a junior. And look, I think we all know at this point that that was kind of by design, that Mullen wanted him to run less to give him the film of being more of a pocket passer. That was to Dak's benefit, but maybe a little bit to Mississippi State's detriment. I don't think you have that issue now. Kamari Taylor is going to be like, hey, you want to run, run. Go. So that's probably it. You know, whether you want to love him or hate him, Will Rogers, I guess it would have been his true junior season, where State as a team, 7-6, they weren't great, but Rogers put up incredible numbers that year. That's probably on the list. You know, within a game, Costello's LSU game, Fitzgerald, you know, didn't have the passing numbers, but as a running quarterback in 2016 was unstoppable. Kamario Taylor's going to have to play at that Dak Jr. level. And say what you want, at going into that season, we did not know that Dak Prescott could do that. We knew he was a good quarterback. He had shown you enough in 2013 that you were excited about him. But at no point did you think that you were looking at a guy who was going to have the kind of season coming, you know, and you think about the offseason of 2014, we were all like, okay, Dak should be pretty good. It was never, this is the best quarterback in the SEC. But he ended up being that. That's the level that State needs Kamario Taylor to get to. Now, is that fair? Probably not. But is it what has to happen? Yes, it is. So maybe, you know, oh, those are high expectations. Well, I don't know what else I can do. If you want me to be serious when I talk about Mississippi State being a potential, 9-win team and being the periphery of the playoff discussion, and have me on Sports Talk Mississippi say, if this was a 24 team or a 16 team, they'd be right there. I got to have that from Kamario Taylor. But it all comes back to that thing I've said in the middle there, the offensive line. Now, if you go back after the spring game, what I said on this pod and what I said on Sports Talk, I was impressed with what I saw from the offensive line. I don't know how creative Zach Arnett was being with his defense in that game, in that scrimmage, the practice, whatever you want to call it. But I took notice of how many times Kamario Taylor was able to sit in the pocket, scan the field, hit his second or third read, and have time to do that. He wasn't running for his life. Now, there were a couple of plays where they got pressure, but that's going to happen in a football game, right? You're not going to have a perfect game from your offensive line. There's never going to be a game where you run 75 offensive plays and the quarterback never is under pressure in any of them, or there's never a tackle for loss. That's just not going to, I mean, even when you play an FCS school, they're going to have a game where somebody breaks free. I thought the offensive line was pretty good. It's a limited sample size, but that's what I saw. And I combine that with the thing I've been harping on it, but it's all I got. That's all I can go on is Lebby's comments about how he's pleased with where that group is. And a year ago, he wasn't making those kind of comments. He was talking to you straight up, this group's not good enough. In reality, we probably should have listened to him, but we didn't. We bought into the idea that this offensive line was going to be better. They haven't been. Now, I say all that. Do I have a lot of faith in Phil Loadholt? I do not. I'm very pleased that State has brought Mason Miller back, put him on staff. I think having a veteran guy like that can only help. I'm in favor of having guys like that at every position if you can afford to do it. I think Mason Miller's presence will help a lot. But this group is very similar to what State had at wide receiver last year. Now, it worked out at wide receiver, but coming into the season, one of the things I talked about was, man, Brennan Thompson and Anthony Evans, these guys, Aiden Williams, they don't have a lot of production. We're talking about a lot of potential here. It ended up panning out. Now, Brennan Thompson led the SEC in receiving last year. Am I trying to tell you that right now that Miles McVay is going to be the best left tackle in the SEC? I am not. This group, and I've said it over and over again, if I can get a C out of this group, they don't have to be an A plus. They don't have to be, all Americans. I just need a C. And I feel like Taylor's athleticism and his ability will take it the rest of the way. I don't need this to be the best offensive line in the SEC. I just need it to be a perfectly acceptable, average SEC offensive line. Can I have average? If I can get an average SEC offensive line with the skill position players that State has, with the quarterback that I think State has, with what I think they're going to be able to do on defense, I'm going to win games at Mississippi State with an average offensive line this year. That's all it's going to require. So if I can get those three things, when you look at it like this, right? Let's look at it from this perspective. If I can get a super talented quarterback to play up to his talent level, it can be difficult, but I mean that window is certainly there. If I can get average offensive line play, guys, if I'm saying that getting average offensive line play is setting my expectations too high, blow the whole thing up. Start from scratch. Average offensive line play. And then can I get a defensive coordinator who has already coordinated defenses in this conference to be the same level he was before? If I get the same level of performance from Zach Arnett that I got from him in 2020, 2021, 2022, State's going to win games this year. If you maybe rank those by confidence points, Arnett would be one, Taylor two, the O-line is three. Because there is a part of me that says, last year when Lebby was talking about the O-line in the spring, he said, we're not good enough, we're not good enough. He did have a spring portal window to go out and attract new talent. This year he doesn't have that, so it's very possible maybe he just want to message it that way. It's like, look, we don't have anybody to go get, so we might as well just tell people it's good. I don't think Jeff Lebby operates that way. I could be wrong. I don't think he does, though. I think he has been honest with us throughout his tenure here about the state of his roster. So, average. That's an incredible statement when you really think about it. I'm saying I can just get average offensive line play. They can, you know, they gave up 45 sacks last year. So in 13 games, 45 sacks. We're talking about what? Over 3 sacks a game. If I can knock off a sack a game, the 2 sacks a game, I mean, how much better is Mississippi State last year with one less sack per game? That's what we're talking about here. I don't feel like we're asking the world of them. You know, we're not asking the world of Jeff Lebby. I've said this a few times now. I'll say it again. We live in a world where a coach went to Indiana and won a national title in 2 years. We are not asking too much of Jeff Lebby to say in year 3 at Mississippi State, win 8 games. If that's asking too much of Jeff Lebby, then I don't know what to tell you. I guess I just asked too much of him because that's what I'm going to say. If a guy can win a national title in 2 seasons at Indiana, you can take Mississippi State into the top 25 in 3 years. You've got to be able to do that. So how close is State to their ceiling? It all hinges on that offensive line. I believe in Taylor. I believe in Arnett. But the offensive line is where I have my doubts. They're good enough. This could be a team that's very exciting. If they're not, they're going to struggle again. And it's just that simple. All right. Back on Monday. I'm not sure about what the deal is with Carlo yet with the travel, but we'll figure it out. But we will be back to recap everything that happens between Mississippi State and Texas A&M. And plenty else to talk about next week. Have a great weekend, guys. Talk to you again soon. For Brooks Bryan, for Carlo Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.